Gothic by Philip Fracassi. Narrated by Eric Fox.
Prologue. Diana Montresor opens her laptop, punches in a password to reveal the home screen, and brings up her mail program. She still wears sweaty workout clothes from her private yoga session. Her hair is pulled back, a black, silky ponytail draped carelessly over one shoulder. Her youthful muscles pleasantly achy and warm from the strength work and stretches. The moment the instructor kissed her cheek and departed, Diana went straight to the freezer and pulled out a frosted bottle of vodka, followed by tonic and fresh lemon from the refrigerator. Cocktail in hand, she now stares blankly at the screen, pushing down a surge of anticipation that emails from this particular sender always bring to the surface. She's foolish to feel this way, but tries to stay positive, stay hopeful. It's an uneasy balance. At the top of her inbox are two consecutive emails, both from the American detective she'd hired to locate the relic. The investigator is based out of New York City and has been on retainer for several years. She'd found him via a referral by the Montresor family attorney. Apparently, the American helped another family find a runaway girl, the heir to a massive pharmaceutical fortune, who decided she'd rather live in a filthy hovel in the United States than a castle in northern France. The investigator had found the girl in some exclusive Chinatown opium den, where the spoiled and stupid went to die. His diplomatic recovery of the heiress earned him high marks, and the family attorney had vouched for the man's credibility, intelligence, and tactfulness. Diana has similar investigators on retainer in strategic locations throughout the states: Los Angeles, Chicago, San Francisco, New Orleans, Miami. These are in addition to literally dozens of men and women positioned around the world, all of them paid a small monthly sum to do nothing but keep their eyes and ears open, albeit with the promise of a generous bonus for any information that led to discovery. Her global resources shape a net of eyes and ears that would have been impossible in her grandfather's youth. The enormous amount of information transmitted at the speed of electricity is a luxury her ancestors could never have dreamed of. An unfair advantage, surely, but one she plans to capitalize on. She will not fail. Many years ago, when she first took over the search from her grandfather, there had been no trace, not a single lead, for decades. She hadn't even been sure what exactly she was looking for. What was its current shape? How was it hiding? After the death of her parents, Diana finished school and was taught all there was to know about the family's history and its intimate relationship to the arts, dark and otherwise. Her grandfather raised her, trained her. He instructed her throughout all the years of her upbringing about the importance of finding what was taken from them, the importance, the need, to correct the past. And, God willing, prevent a future darkened by evil. Erase the threat of having murder and despair spread like a global virus. The one thing in her favor is the knowledge that the relic needs a host, someone it can control, someone to spread the power that lies behind the portal, the hidden world on the other side of the stone, an all-consuming dimension located next door to hell. The host could be anyone, but it will need someone who will listen, who craves the things it can offer, who will sell their soul, wittingly or unwittingly, perhaps too naive or foolish to know the difference. She opens the first email, and her black eyes go wide. "Miss Montresor, I believe I have a lead on the object you're looking for. I hope I'm right, because with the amount of money you've been putting into my bank account, I was feeling downright guilty about the whole thing. Attached are a few photos taken by my guy at Howlin' Hook, one of the ports here in the city.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?